In the grim darkness of the 41st millennium, humanity stands in a position most precarious. The Imperium is beset upon all sides by a series of foul and terrible forces, many of which will be led by their own capricious warlord, who has swelled his followers with promises of power and glory if they heed his malign call. Whilst our noble forces of the Adeptus Astartes, or from the Astra Militarum, would dutifully stand resolute against the crashing tides of the galaxy, there is perhaps another more calculated method for removing a raving warlord from power. Only in the most dire of circumstances, the High Lords of Terror will decree that in order to safeguard the Imperium, that a fabled assassin must be dispatched with haste, for the threat of ambition is one which cannot be allowed to spread. The existence of the Officio Assassinorum and of the assassins themselves is an incredibly closely guarded secret within the Imperium, with only the highest ranking of officials knowing of the true extent to their actions within the galaxy. They are perhaps as legendary and quasi-mythical as the mighty Grey Knights, with few Imperial citizens having any need to truly know of their operations. It may in fact be more comforting to not know of the assassins. For once, one realizes that the Imperium may reach you wherever you are in the galaxy, then the cost of enacting any transgressions suddenly becomes far more dire. Even the true location of their temples have been shrouded in mystery. There are no officially recorded maps or coordinates in the Imperial databases regarding the Assassins' sanctuaries, other than the knowledge that five of the temples are located upon Holy Terra. The credo of the Officio Assassinorum follows the thought that a single well-timed death may prevent a war in which a billion souls would perish. In this sense, the assassins may be seen as something of a prophylactic towards the utter chaotic strife of the galaxy. Should an orc warboss gain traction within a region of space, where he gathers a gargantuan green tide to shake the very stars, then a single bullet from a Vindicare temple assassin may end his life, shattering the cohesion of his army and bringing a halt to his warpath. Deep within a bustling hive city, if there was to be a slowly growing cult towards the Chaos Gods, then we can safely presume that they would happily sacrifice the lives of all within their city in the name of the ruinous powers. This situation, however, can be efficiently and silently ended with but the simple insertion of a single Calidus assassin who can infiltrate and behead the cultists before any significant traction could be made in their insidious plans. There are countless tales of warlords, rogue psykers, chaos champions, alien commanders, and foul heretics who had the potential of rocking the iron cradle of the Imperium, but each of whom met their fates at the hands of an assassin. As previously suggested, the assassins who carry out their directives do so whilst utterly shrouded from the eyes of the citizen populations. They would be so lucky to live a life so humble that the presence of an assassin never becomes known to them. With that being said, for the Imperial elites who know of their existence, they hold the assassins with some semblance of trepidation. They understand that a well-placed assassin is the ultimate tool of both destruction and peace, where they are able to change the course of history with but a single slash of a blade or the single shot of a rifle. These elites also know, however, that if they were to ever stray from their path or take any form of action which went against the Imperium, then the gaze of an assassin would surely fall upon them, and they would never even see their own death. None are to be spared from the actions of an assassin, if their threat is deemed great enough. Deep within the assassin temples, their great tapestries have been scribed with a striking phrase: "For those who defy the Imperium, only the Emperor may judge your crimes, and only in death will you receive his judgment." Thus, once an assassin has been dispatched by the High Lords on a mission, then there is truly nothing which can prevent their inevitable approach. The death which an assassin is to deliver has been ordained as an absolute necessity in bringing the Emperor's justice to the galaxy, and none may be saved from their actions. The assassins themselves have been trained to act as a singular army, where each agent may carry out their war as a lone operative. Once deployed, that assassin must be a fully autonomous agent who requires no contact with other Imperial forces, lest it interfere with their own mission. Because of this necessity, they will be proficient in an impressive variety of skills, all of which have been instilled within their minds to allow them to act as independently as possible. The sheer volumes of information which must be stored within their minds has been known to drive some trainee assassins to madness. But these failures do not represent the true majesty of a fully trained, field-ready assassin. As such, once an assassin has been deployed, then this training will fully kick in, aided by the vastly augmented biomechanical and neural implants which had been surgically introduced to their bodies during their years of tutelage. They will then enact a cold and calculated mission where they act as nothing but a living weapon. They are a tool as ineffable as time itself, and their enemies will never be free from the inescapable force which is soon to meet them. Before we delve into the secrets of the assassins, let us learn of their founding tale. During the earliest days of the Great Crusade, the Emperor of Mankind gave a fated declaration to the population of the world of Thor. He stated that no world was to be beyond his rule, and that no enemy could be beyond his wrath. With his sights clearly set upon the unification of the worlds of the galaxy, in which no enemy could stand before him, he departed out further into the stars, ever expanding the light of humanity through the void. His followers, however, were rather moved by his speech. A small cadre of his most loyal servants convened in a secret meeting, where they understood that in order to best aid the Emperor in his mission, that they must follow in his words and prove that none could live beyond his reach. As such, the highly trained individuals would travel out through the galaxy in the wake of the Emperor's crusade fleet. With their skills in stealth and subterfuge, they would infiltrate the worlds which had pledged themselves to the Imperium and would simply investigate their rulers to learn of their true intentions. If a planetary governor kept to his promises of loyalty and fealty to the Emperor, then the group would leave, moving on to another world. But if the governor proved to be a spiteful and treacherous man, then the group would silently and swiftly execute them before finding a suitable replacement. They continued in their self-ordained mission, where they traveled the breadth of the galaxy, culling the enemies of man wherever they were to be found. None of their group sought out praise or accolades for their grim duty. Instead, they only wished to silently carry out their task, all to ease the burden of rot from within the young Imperium. They understood that those within the crusading fleets were sacrificing their lives in vast, apocalyptic wars, and that they were the ones who were deserving of the Emperor's admiration, not themselves. Whilst they continuously proved themselves to be an effective group, they also knew that their own lives were a finite thing and that they could not act within the Imperium forever. When they looked upon the state of the galaxy, they saw that their lives would surely end long before the Great Crusade was completed, and so they sought out a longer-term solution to this problem. They revealed their existence and their actions to the Emperor, where they informed him of the sheer number of worlds in which they were forced to bring his justice to those who had betrayed him. The Emperor, in all his majesty, saw the grim necessity of their task, and though it pained him, he knew that such a group should be nurtured and supported for the betterment of all mankind. Thus, by his word, the Officio Assassinorum was founded. Under the guidance of Malkador the Sigillite, the organization began to take root, and the six founding members who had aided the emperor during his crusade were named as the directors of their own temples, which would each serve a distinct and unique purpose. Their names were to ever be immortalized in the very walls of the great temples across Terra, and thus the six clades were named as Calidus, Venenum, Colexus, Vindicare, Eversor, and Varnus. The temples quickly began with the process of recruiting new members for their group, with the strongest and most capable of guardsmen being plucked from their regiments early in their careers, only to be forced to endure the most rigorous and terrible training programs available within the Imperium. Only the strongest could survive. But for those who did, they were changed into beings of pure death, who could bring the wrath and justice of the Emperor to his enemies, no matter where they lurked within the galaxy. Knowing of their history, I shall now go into some detail regarding the unique skills of the various clades and temples. They each have distinct methods for bringing the Emperor's justice to his enemies, and as such, they each operate in an incredibly unique way. In addition, I will tell of one forgotten temple, whose origin has been lost to time, and I will also reveal to you the tale of the only known rogue temple, which was swiftly destroyed, as it threatened to overthrow the slumbering lion of the Imperium. Firstly, we have the Vindicare Temple. These assassins are incredibly cold, but impressively methodical killers who have been trained and enhanced into becoming perhaps the finest marksmen of the entire galaxy. Their operations take months or even years to meticulously plan, but the result of this intensive scouting work is that their assassinations are almost always executed to perfection. The agents will find the best possible location to hunker down and lurk in, and it is here that the Vindicare will take on a role more similar to a striking spider than anything else. It is not uncommon for these individuals to wait in their position for weeks or even months until their target moves into range, at which point they will swiftly pull their trigger and bring the touch of death to their mark. Their bodies have been highly augmented and modified to allow them to enter into a state of near hibernation, in which their heartbeat will slow to around only one beat per minute. Despite this, the constant flow of neurostims keeps their mind utterly alert, and as soon as he's required to take the shot, he will do so remorselessly and without second thought. The accuracy of a Vindicare assassin has been truly perfected into an art form. Using their magnificent Exodus rifles, they are able to pick out a perfect shot at a target's eyeball from miles away, even through dense fogs and heavy rain. In addition to their pristine weaponry, they will carry a wide range of specialized ammo types, all of which have been carefully and meticulously crafted to counter a specific foe. For example, their shield breaker rounds contain an incredibly complex emitter which can nullify the effects of a psychic shield. This means that for enemy psykers who can project fields of warp energy around themselves, such as with a Tyranid Zoanthrope, that even they cannot be safe from the careful targeting of an Imperial assassin. After quickly and cleanly dispatching their target, the assassin will quickly rouse from their state of hibernation before silently slipping away into the dark, never to be seen or found by their enemies. The next clade to introduce will be that of the Calidus Temple Assassins, who favor the art of graceful deception and subtle infiltration methods, which each allow them to carry out their grim task without an enemy force ever knowing that an Imperial agent had ever been present within their midst. Whilst their training in these tactics is truly masterful, it is also vastly aided by their use of the drug known as polymorphine. This compound allows its user to alter their appearance and shapeshift their entire body into that of anyone else in the galaxy. This allows them to simply don the mask of a trusted bodyguard to an enemy before simply walking through their facilities only to quickly dispatch of their target before vanishing into the crowds whilst under a different disguise. Because of this ability, it is no wonder that these assassins are so often deployed on missions where any implication with the High Lords of Terror would be detrimental to their position. A lord could dispatch one of these assassins to eliminate a planetary governor, and none would be able to prove that an Imperial agent was involved, since the assassin was perfectly disguised as one of their own. In addition to these missions of direct assassinations, it is not unheard of for a Kaleidos agent to be deployed within an enemy organization for years at a time, solely so that they can covertly monitor and obtain any secrets or information which may be beneficial to the Imperium. Nevertheless, a Kaleidos assassin can still draw forth from their vast array of combat abilities to slaughter entire barracks worth of enemy forces should the need require it. Their potent phase blades and neural shredders have both been designed to utterly ravage their targets, with no amount of armor being able to prevent their strikes. These tools, combined with their acrobatic and masterful style of close-quarters combat, makes them a truly formidable opponent to face off against, and only a few select individuals have ever survived an encounter with these deadly assassins. Next, we have the temple which possesses perhaps the darkest reputation amongst their group, the Kaleidos Temple. The members of this clade are all bearers of the innately terrifying pariah gene, and so they are all psychic blanks. This means that they lack any presence within the warp, and in some ways, one could describe them as being utterly soulless. To a regular human, this makes them rather unsettling. And if one were to meet with a psychic blank, then they would exude a distinct aura of fear throughout the environment. To a psyker, however, meeting with a blank is akin to absolute torture. They would see the individual as an abyssal void, with their gaping, soulless form calling out to them in utter silence, threatening to drag the psyker into the tormenting realm of nothingness. Many psykers will simply die from shock if they encounter a natural psychic blank. But for the Kaleidos assassins, they have been further trained and enhanced to better utilize this insidious power. These agents can actually amplify their void soul out towards their targets through the use of their animus speculum, where they create a beam of negative psychic energy to utterly ravage the psyche of whoever was unfortunate enough to face them. It is of no wonder, then, that these assassins are most often deployed to target psychic enemies of the Imperium. Once an agent makes planetfall, their presence will often be detected rather instantly by the psychically sensitive individuals upon the world. Whilst they may not be able to tell the true cause for the strangely harrowing feeling within them, a part of them will know that their days are to be numbered. To die at the hands of a psychic blank is to be a fate envied by none. For the psyker, it would feel like their very soul is suffocating, with their ephemeral essence being drowned within a sudden ocean of utter abandonment. Thankfully, the eerie Kaleidos agents are kept far from civilization, as their mere presence upon a hive world would cause an untold level of chaos within the civilian population. Now I shall cover what is undeniably the most unpredictable of clades, the Eversaur Temple. Whilst the other clades could never be questioned in their professional, direct and targeted methods, the members of the Eversaur Temple appear to be more akin to butchers than anything else. They are the closest thing to a true living weapon that the Imperium has access to, and they are simply so dangerous that when they are not deployed on a mission, they are kept in prolonged cryosleep, purely for the safety of other Imperial agents. The Temple specializes in the tactics of shock and horror, whereby their deployments will certainly instill a feeling of sheer terror in any who see the aftermath of their grisly work. Perhaps more so than any other of the Assassin Temples, the Eversaurs will receive an overwhelmingly invasive series of cybernetic and genetic augmentations, which all enable them to act as the ultimate killer. Rather strangely, as a part of this process, they have been bequeathed with perhaps the most adaptive and resilient immune system attainable by a human. This gift, however, was only given to protect their bodies from the overwhelmingly toxic flow of chemicals and compounds which are continuously pumped through their blood in order to keep them as alert and deadly as possible. These assassins will typically be deployed to missions where the utter bloodbath produced by the Eversaur is to act as a deterrent against other groups who have aligned themselves away from the light of the Imperium. Chaos cultists and heretical planetary governors will most often be the target for such operations, and they will rue the day that they drew the gaze of an Eversaur. Once a mission has been planned, the operative will be roused from cryosleep by an injection of several potent stimulants which are so strong that they would almost certainly kill a regular, sensitive human. Due to how long the agents are kept in cryosleep, once awakened, the Eversaur will have not an inkling of an idea as to what year it is, or of what world he is orbiting, or even of their own name. But none of these things matter. To the assassin, the cocktail of combat drugs has already worked its way into their brain, and all they can think of is murder. The specially designed chamber will then be jettisoned down to the targeted location in a manner similar to a drop pod, and once it has made planetfall, the Eversaur will be fully awake and ready to burst out to enact their brutal killing spree. Their equipment has been formulated and designed to mirror their savage methods of combat. Upon their wrists and hands will be a mounted neuro gauntlet, which projects an incredibly sharp array of needles along their fingers. Each of these can inject a huge dose of the most potent neurotoxins found throughout the galaxy, which will cause a near instant death in almost any biological species. They also wield an executioner pistol, which will fire a mix of explosive bolt rounds, intended to blow open holes in an opponent's armor before switching to a flurry of toxic darts, which contain the same cocktail of neurotoxins to spell their certain death. Another of the founding clades would be that of the Venenum Temple. These agents have been trained to utilize the most exotic and rare of poisons from the galaxy in order to best execute their targets. They uplift the specialty of toxicology to an absolute art form, where their manipulation and understanding of toxicity is revered by even the foul homunculi covens of the Drukhari. Their actual temple is located in a secretive complex known as the Orchard, which is completely enveloped by a small tropical jungle, in which there is to be found thousands of distinct animal and plant species from which their famous poisons and toxins are derived from. The recruits to this temple will spend several decades honing their skills in horticulture and animal trapping before moving on to learn of how the most potent of poisons can be extracted. They will then become experts in the process of distilling and refining these naturally sourced compounds to produce the fabled toxins to soon be used in the field. Such is their mastery over toxicology that they can produce poisonous compounds which will leave absolutely no trace within the victim's body. Even the finest of morticians would not be able to detect any metabolic signs of foul play having occurred, and the victim will simply appear to have died from no apparent reason. The next to discuss would be the shrouded Vanus Temple. The agents of this clade act rather differently than that of their assassin cousins, as their role is more specialized in gathering information, as well as by planning or strategizing new missions. And finally, they are deeply involved in hacking operations throughout the Imperium. Their operatives are known as InfoSites, and they are unmatched experts in utilizing their highly advanced predictive engines and simulation tools to best calculate the probabilities of every outcome from a coming event. Furthermore, their hacking capabilities will often allow them to disrupt or eliminate certain enemy targets long before a conflict has even commenced. And this will have been done to gently tip the odds of success towards that of the Imperium. It is said that the vast data storage facilities of the Vanus Temple are able to process the quetabytes of surveillance information from around the galaxy, which constantly flows through their cogitator systems. Their sorting algorithms will silently sift through the sea of data, highlighting potential targets or suspicious activities, which may warrant an investigation by cryptocratic agents. There is nothing which can be encrypted or concealed from the Vanus Temple, and it is only a matter of time before they can crack open and delve into every secret held within the digital hellscape of the galaxy. The agents of the Vanus Temple are incredibly intertwined with technological tools, mirroring the tech priests of the Adeptus Mechanicus. Unlike the Martian cult, however, these operatives will not forgo their own biological sanctity to achieve their goals. Their complex interfacing implants and technological augmentations are rather subtle and well hidden from their appearance, but parts of their frame, particularly the backs of their heads, would appear as markedly different to that of a baseline human. Upon their gauntlets will be a micronized cogitator, which can be used to access any computer systems, regardless of type, and it can even break through the most secure of cryptographic security shields. In addition, if a terminal is not easily located, then the agent can release a swarm of tiny mechanical netflies to locate the targeted computer system. These nanomachines will chew through any cabling and embed themselves within the wires, where they will feed off of the rich data stream, only to transmit everything back to the Vanus agent. As such, none should be foolish enough to think that they can hide secrets from the Vanus Temple, for their methods of uncovering any and all information from around the galaxy has truly been perfected, and their agents will go to any lengths to crack open the treasures of the digital world. The next temple I am to discuss is known as the Adamus Temple. The actual origins of this clade have unfortunately been lost to time, and we cannot be sure as to whether or not it was founded during the Horus Heresy, along with the previous six, or if it perhaps existed prior to their inception. I say this because the Adamus Temple is widely considered to be the oldest of the officially recognized groups within the Officio Assassinorum, but much of its history has been lost, and we cannot even reliably claim that it survived into the 41st millennium. Nevertheless, from what we do know about their agents is that they were trained to become some of the most proficient swordsmasters of the galaxy. Their techniques in dueling were derived from the forbidden methods and traditions of the Pan-Pacific tribesmen who existed during the ancient days of Terra, long before it was ever unified. Specifically, the old Terran tribesmen believed that the most certain way of besting an opponent was to simply destroy or remove their head. It is of no wonder, then, that their entire style of combat was based around finding an opportunity to decapitate their foes. This strategy formed the basis of the Adamus Temple, but was further enhanced by the unmatched training and biological augmentations provided to its agents. Just as they are trained to behead an enemy in single combat, they will also be prepared and deployed against enemy command forces, where the death of the leader will cause the rest of their army to crumble. Whilst in a duel with one of their targets, they will study and learn of their own techniques on the fly. With each deflection and dodge of their blade, they will see new weaknesses and new opportunities to go for their final strike. only once the enemy has fully revealed the extent of their abilities will the Adamas agent finally bring down their blade in a decapitating strike, and they will quickly exfiltrate their area to return to their base of operations. In prolonging the battle, they learn of new combat techniques of their opponents, which are to be taught and shared with the other members of their temple, further enhancing their already comprehensive knowledge on swordsmanship. Now that we have covered the Loyalist temples, let us learn of the only known renegade assassin clade, which was forcibly halted after producing but a single assassin. This would be the Maroris Temple, which was originally formulated as a group which would be able to rapidly adapt to effectively counter several different classes of enemy during a single deployment. One of the largest problems with the six other clades is that once an enemy force has been targeted by an assassin, then they can prepare themselves to best defend against that type of approach again. Conceptually, Imperial strategists believed that it would be rather difficult for a Vindicare assassin to be used multiple times against a single opposing force during a prolonged campaign, since their enemies would be alert to the possibility of such an attack occurring. To rectify this problem, they drafted the idea of an assassin who could morph and adapt their body into different forms, whilst always remaining as a force of death to their enemies. With this, an agent could be deployed against a group and remain a constant, ever-shifting threat to them for years, and that no matter what the targets did to defend themselves, that this form of assassin would always be able to adapt and overcome the new obstacle. In practice, however, creating this temple proved to be a most horrific mistake. The Officio Assassinorum had attempted to negotiate with the members of the Adeptus Mechanicus for centuries in order to have their aid in producing such an agent, and they even supplied them with an entirely complete STC to gain leverage over them. Despite this, the Mechanicus refused, since an essential part of this process would be the tampering of a human genome, which is one of the greatest sins of tech heresy. As such, the Assassinorum directors went for a different approach, seeing the ends of this project as justifying their means. They resorted to contacting a group of heretic priests who gladly welcomed the opportunity to tamper and unspool the holy genetic material of an imperial assassin. Initially, the project took root as an enormous experimentation camp in which thousands of prisoners were taken from around the galaxy, only for them to be killed so that their valuable stocks of DNA could be harvested. Unbeknownst to the Imperium, the heretics also introduced strains of tyrannid DNA recovered from previously encountered gene-stealer cults, since it would theoretically allow the resulting assassin to better shift and shape their own bodies as they saw fit. The culmination of this work resulted in the creation of a single assassin known as Legionstrauss. She could consume the biomass of her victims and use the subsumed genetic material to shift and change her body into whatever form she desired. Such was her ability in reforming herself that through the early experiments, she was considered to be almost completely unkillable, since she could easily and rapidly regenerate parts of her body which became damaged. Unfortunately, however, Legionstrasse quickly realized that she need not follow the orders of the Officio Assassinorum, and that she was more than powerful enough to overthrow the rulers of the Imperium by her own hand. In addition, her offspring would be of the same genetic makeup as her, so she could continuously produce new assassins who would aid her in this rather grand mission. Now, this was obviously an incredible failure from the directors of the assassins, and so they orchestrated an incredibly complex plot in order to bring Legionstrasse to justice. The agents knew that she was sheltered on a planet known as Opis, but they could not reliably pinpoint her location, and so they sought to bring chaos to the world in order to drive her out. Firstly, the Officio Assassinorum spent a considerable amount of time in seeding the world of Opis with heretical followers of chaos who were provided with all the resources needed to form a large-scale cult throughout the planet. This resulted in an inquisitorial party descending to investigate the rumors of heretical worship, but upon their arrival, a Vindicare assassin was instructed to kill each of the inquisitors and to frame it on the chaos worshippers. As a result of this, Opis was declared as a traitorous world to the Imperium, and a full-scale invasion from the Imperial Fists chapter of the Space Marines was sent to bring the world back into line. During their battles with Chaos, the assassin eventually emerged from the shadows as an ever-shifting, horribly mutated creature which rapidly tore through the lines of the Astartes. She was eventually killed by the Imperial Fists Captain Lysander, but only after his forces had suffered heavy losses at the hands of this rogue abomination. With her death, the Meroras Temple was destroyed, but its existence remained as a stain upon the Officio Assassinorum, which was to be kept as an ever-shrouded secret to all but the most senior of directors. The following group are not to be considered as true Imperial assassins, as they are not agents of the Officio Assassinorum, but they will still faithfully enact the Emperor's judgment in his glorious name. I am, of course, referring to the death cult assassins, which exist throughout the Imperium. The adherents to these cults believe that the only way to worship and praise the God Emperor is to bathe their enemies in blood and to bring the art of death throughout the galaxy. In a somewhat questionable view, many of the death cults will preach the concept that since death is something innate to the human existence, that we can further push humanity's position throughout the stars by embracing death itself, and that by shedding the blood of our foes, that we may bring salvation to humanity. The Inquisition keeps a close eye on the death cults, since their beliefs are rather close to those of the heretical chaos worshippers, but the cultists have proven time and time again that their loyalties do in fact lie with the God Emperor and with the Imperium. Death is utterly and completely ritualized within the cults, to the point where some will encourage their members to consume the flesh and blood of their slain enemies, as it brings them closer to the Emperor and to life itself. Their members are not enhanced through cybernetics or biological augmentations, as with the official assassin temples. However, its adherents are still incredibly deadly, and they will stop at nothing to slay their enemies upon a battlefield. They will use specialized equipment such as punch daggers or rending claws, which have been fashioned into the shape of an eagle's talons, all to rip their enemies asunder in the name of the God Emperor. Even though some would question their methods, and perhaps even their sanity, none can be uncertain of their true loyalties. They are faithful servants to the Emperor, who aid in the growth and propagation of the Imperial cult in their own blood-soaked way. With this, our journey through the depths of the Officio Assassinorum shall come to an end. Whilst none can doubt that the assassins themselves are some of the most efficacious and most skillful of agents throughout the Imperium, we must also remember that they are but tools, and a tool in the wrong hands can bring even the mighty Imperium to its knees. If one remains faithful and loyal to the Imperium, then they will never need to fear the silent approach of these killers. But for those who find their interests drifting outside of the purview of the Emperor, then they must pray to whatever foul pantheon of gods they worship to protect them from the inevitable and unstoppable approach of an Imperial assassin.